And what do you do with it? It means to beat on it. And I can't play it. But I saw it in Peru not too long ago, and I saw the thing, and I saw him playing it, and I said, I'm going to buy Marty one of these things. And Marty, thank you for getting this thing into the program this morning. It's awesome. He does it every now and then, but I never had shown it to you. So this was my addition to the music this morning. Just wanted you to know I was part of it. All right. All right. Well, it's Mother's Day, and God bless all of you mothers. We wouldn't be here without you. I get a kick out of things. You know, Dean has got it on the front. He's got this this young mother there walking along, got that little tiny baby there. I know young mothers that have these little babies. They think, boy, it's just, you know, they're busy with life, and they got these little babies, and they just keep you so busy because, you know, they're making messes. And those messes are continual, you know. I mean, there's the eating messes, you know, where they're little babies and you're trying to feed them and they're just starting to learn to eat. They get beyond milk and they start to eat a few things, and you get into that time where you buy the little jars of stuff and you're trying to feed them, and you put it in, and out it comes, put it in, out it comes. You know, it's about a tithe that they get. You know, that's where tithing starts with a kid. Put it in, in and out. It's hilarious. But for those young mothers that were up here, I just want to warn you, the messes they make at this age right here do not compare to the messes they make when they get a little older. Just want you to know, especially when they're adults. But, well, God bless all of you mothers. I'm just so glad that you're here today. It's wonderful to be in the Lord's house. As always, reach into your worship folder and take out the yellow sheet that looks just like this, connection card, if you're our guest today. And we know we have many. It's Mother's Day, and there always are. Thank you for coming. We're glad that you're here. And then also there's this little sheet that says the tale of three Marys. Take that out if you would, and that'll be a listening guide. You can use that as we go through our time together this morning. For all of the moms that are present, as you leave today, we have this gift for you. Sometimes it's flowers, sometimes it's a plant, you know, today. Sometimes it's chocolates. A lot of them vote for the chocolates. But today, we've got a little book for you called 31 Days Toward Passionate Faith. Johnny Erickson Tada, who had lots of challenges in life, and it's a great little book. We want you to have it as you go out any of the doors today. All the moms that are here, we would like you to have one of those. Well, somebody usually would say about this time, Pastor Phil, it's this time of year you break out your Hawaiian shirts and everything, so what's up with the suit and tie? Well, this is my first Mother's Day with my mother gone. And I got to thinking about what would my mother want if she was here and she could tell me anything. You know, if I called her, because I always called her on the phone real early, and I was telling the prayer group this morning that just a few of the things I would call her on Mother's Day and try to see if I could get up early enough to call her before she was already awake. That's impossible because my mother woke the chickens up so that they could crow. So, but, you know, I'd call her and tell her Happy Mother's Day. And, of course, she's with the Lord right now, and she doesn't need a call from me because she's in the Lord's presence, and who knows what they're doing. But if I were to call her and she could have anything she'd want, this is what she'd say. Well, I want you to go back to your closet and find a nice tie to put on with your shirt today and then wear a suit jacket or a suit or something. I'll just be so happy. So here I am in honor of my mother this morning, all dressed up, fit to shoot. So just want you to know. All right. It's good to be here. May 9th, 1914, Congress declared the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. On that day, Woodrow Wilson was president, and he stood up and he said, "It has been set aside as a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country." And I'm glad they did that. I'm glad they set aside a time to honor moms, to stop the show, and to talk about what a blessing it is having a mother. And, of course, it affects everyone. There's no one here who hasn't been affected by motherhood in one way or another. You all had a mother. Maybe you are a mother. And if not, you want to be a mother. And so thank you so much for all that you do and you are. We're thankful, moms, that you wanted us. That's amazing to have to say in the time that we live in today. But thank you that you wanted us, you tended us, you fed us, you educated us, you put up with us. Mother is the one person that still believes in us when many has given up on us. And hey, Mom, we love you. We thank God for you. And we're going to do it again. I'm not going to clap yet. I just want you to, all the moms, to stand back up. If you're a mom, please stand back up. Just stand up, all the mothers. Look around. This is awesome. These are the people, I tell you, that do more to control the world than we would ever imagine. We thank God for our mothers. Now, don't do anything yet. Don't sit down. Let me just do this, all right? Let's have moms that are not grandmothers. Would you sit down? Oh, got a lot of grandmothers. Now, let's have grandmothers that are not great-grandmothers. Please sit down. Ooh, now we're getting there. Look at that. All great-grandmothers. And do we have any great-great-grand... If you're not a great-great-grandmother, please sit down. Great-great-grandmother. There we go, right there. God bless you. Viola, wasn't it? Viola Penninger. Well, God bless you. We got one great-great-grandmother with us today. God bless all of you moms. What? Where's another one? Where? I didn't see. They were lined up. All right, stand back up. I couldn't see you. I saw Viola. And where's Dorothy? There you are. Hi, Dorothy. Okay, excellent. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Two of them. Two great-great-grandmothers. Well, on Mother's Day, there are more phone calls made than any other day of the year. Phone companies love it, Mother's Day. And I want to encourage you, if you can't go see your mother, make sure you call. And if you can't call because she's passed away, like mine has, take time to thank God. Just thank God. Give Him thanks for the mother that you had. And so we should do that and thank God for our mother. On the other side of the thought, if you've had the privilege of being a mom, thank God for your children. You know, they're not a trial in your life. They are the treasures of your life. And if you've had that privilege of motherhood, thank God for it. There's a story about a wealthy son. Now, you know, a lot of cards and gifts are given at Mother's Day. Hallmark Cards loves Mother's Day. You know, Christmas is fading for Hallmark Cards, sadly, and other holidays are fading. But Hallmark loves Mother's Day. It's the number one day for cards. A lot of cards and gifts. Well, there's a story about a wealthy son who decided to do something special for his mother on Mother's Day. He went to a pet shop, saw a very expensive talking bird. And it was an unusual bird. The bird could whistle Amazing Grace. Not only that, the bird could quote the 23rd Psalm. It was an unusual bird. He thought, nothing's too good for my mother, I'll buy it. How much is it? $30,000 this bird cost. Well, I'm a wealthy man, what's money to me? He bought the bird, $30,000. Had that bird carefully shipped to his mother, and on Mother's Day, as was his custom, he got up early and called and said, Mom, happy Mother's Day. Did the bird arrive? Yes. Well, did you like the bird? Oh, son, I cannot believe how kind you were to remember me in that way. It was delicious. Now, if you want to know the real story about mothers, you got to go to that, you know, that real think tank of wisdom that really has the answers, and that is you got to go to the second graders. And so here's what second graders have to say. Why did God make mothers? She's the only one who knows where the Scotch tape is. To help us get out of there when we were being born. Second graders now. There's some educated bunch out there now. How did God make mothers? One said, He just used dirt, just like the rest of us. Somebody else said, How did God make mothers? God made my mom just the same as He made me. She's just got bigger parts. The second graders. What ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and a good portion of meanness. They had to get their start from men's bones, I think, and then they mostly used string. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? We're related. God knew she liked me a lot more than other mothers would like me. What kind of little girl was your mom?
I don't know. I wasn't there, but my guess would be she was pretty bossy.
Another one said, well, I don't know, but they say she used to be nice. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? One of them said his last name. Another one said she'd had to know his background. Does he make at least $800 a year? Did he say no to drugs? And did he say yes to chores? Why did your mom marry your dad?
Grandma says he didn't have his thinking. She didn't have her thinking cap on.
What's the difference between moms and dads? Moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them to death. What's the difference between moms and dads? Dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the power. Because you have to go ask mom if you want to do a sleepover at your friend's house. Dads never say anything. Moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. That's a good one, isn't it? What does your mom do in her spare time? Moms don't do spare time. One said to hear her tell it, she pays bills all day long. What would it take to make your mom perfect? Well, she's already perfect on the inside. Outside, I think plastic surgery. Might as well get the honest truth from somebody. Oh, this is great. What would it take to make your mom perfect? Diet. No, wait a minute. Wait. Diet, you know her hair. Diet blue. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? Well, I'd make my mom smarter. Then she would know it was my sister done it, not me. What would you change about your mom if you could? I would get rid of those invisible eyes she has in the back of her head. There have been many wonderful mothers down through the years. We've all heard of St. Augustine. He was a great theologian, religious leader, but he wasn't always that way. In fact, he was a profligate and a sinful man into his early adulthood, but he had a faithful mother. He was born in North Africa, and he had a mother named Monica. She never gave up praying for him, prayed for him constantly. He was 32 years old before he was converted. Now, he had done a lot of studies, studied theology, but as a critic, and he studied for rhetoric, and he studied for philosophy. When he was 32 years old, he was listening to Ambrose in Milan, Italy, and that's when he got saved. But all of those years, his mother kept praying for him. Mothers are wonderful. We remember Hannah from the Old Testament. She prayed for her reproach to be taken away and prayed so intently that Eli the priest thought she was drunk because she was mumbling, moving her lips without words. And she wanted to have a son so that she could give him to the Lord. She says, Lord, you give me a son and I'll dedicate him to you all the days of his life. She had a son. His name was Samuel, and she did just that. Oh boy, when you pray for your sons and daughters like that, just what might you have? But if you don't pray, what might be? In the New Testament, we have the account of Paul's young protege in the faith, Timothy, and his grandmother and mother were a duo. They worked together. It was Lois and Eunice, and they prayed for this young man, Timothy. They taught him the faith, led him to the Lord, brought him up in the Lord, and he mimicked their faith. They demonstrated the faith. Tremendous, tremendous people. But today I want to talk to you about somebody else, and we're going to talk about the tale of three Marys. The tale of three Marys. Three Marys in the Bible, all of them in the book of John. And I'm just going to get into it today. And this is a big day. There are no events tonight at the church. And we pray that everybody that has a mom close or even if you don't, if you are a mom, I pray that everybody will celebrate with you. And just take this day, set it aside, and stop the show in order to be able to really think about your mom and give thanks for her. Let's talk about the tale of three Marys. The first one I want to talk about is Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the book of John. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Let me read just a couple of verses. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Verse 5, his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Those are the only instructions in the entire Bible from Mary. Whatever Jesus says to do, do it. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? Amen. So this is what she said. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine." Well, I want to say several things to you. And the first one I get out of that is, moms, we want to thank you for being so very, very attentive. Very attentive. Mothers are attentive. Mary was there. She was watching what was going on. She saw what was happening. It must have been a big wedding. Wine was there that was served, usually the best they could afford that would have been given. The wine would have been the way that the water would have been purified in those days, but perhaps the content of wine and mixture would have been stronger on a wedding, and this is what they were doing, and they were at a wedding. Well, moms, thank you for being so attentive. She saw that the wine was running out. You know, men like to say that we're practical, sensible, and prepared for every eventuality that might happen. But did any of you guys ever go on a picnic when mom wasn't available for the preparations and packing for the trip? When you do, you end up trying to eat without silverware, you wipe your hands on your pants, and you eat simple bologna between two dry pieces of bread because mom wasn't anywhere around. That's why women are so good at knowing what is lacking in every situation. Moms and ladies, thank you for being so attentive and for seeing just what is missing in life. And they seem to know just who needs a hug, just who needs a word of encouragement. They seem to know when something's wrong. I can come into a situation, and Bonnie can come into the same situation. We can talk to the same people for the same length of time. I can leave, and Bonnie will say, "Well, I need to go back and see so-and-so." And I said, "Really?" She says, "Yeah, because she's got some stuff going on. She's suffering." I said, "Well, how on earth would you possibly?" She didn't say a word, didn't make a peep, didn't say anything. She says, "Well, you have to trust me." About a week will go by, and she'd say, "See, I told you." So perceptive. On the occasion in the passage in John 2, the first one that noticed that there was going to be a problem with the wine supply was Mary. We know that only Jesus can give us lasting joy when our plans for happiness run short, which is what was illustrated in this story. And I can repeat with full assurance that Jesus can give you lasting joy from a well that never runs out. And if we could quit trying to find fullness and joy in the swine pits of the world, we would be a lot happier. Jesus is the only one that can bring unending joy and gladness. But even with that, make no mistake that it was Mary who was so very attentive and saw that it was going to run out. Something else about Mary in this story. Moms, thank you for putting others before yourself. Boy, what a character trait of most moms that I've ever known anything about. They're ready to put other people in front of themselves. She wasn't thinking of herself at the moment she pointed out the wine. She was thinking of other people. Oh no, we got way too many people, not enough to take care of them. And so she noticed it and she was worried about everybody else. And so we'd like to say thanks to every mom for putting others before yourself. Thank you for seeing what lacks in every situation and doing something about it. I remember particularly one series of Christmases, one where my dad was laid off. He worked for AT&T and was laid off the 1st of December from he used to call it Ma Bell. And he worked there. He got laid off for this, the only strike I ever remember in his entire history there. And I remember my mother seeing that Christmas was going to be different. There just wasn't going to be much festivities. The Christmas celebration was going to be slim. We knew that the Mary was going to be going out of Christmas. So what did she do? I remember what she did. She decided to make a call to an old boss that she had at what we used to call Sears Crosstown. Downtown, old building, not there anymore. But she, before she got married, she filled, some of you young people that are here are not even going to know what we're talking about, but she worked in the mail order department. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Mail order. And she pulled tickets, and she matched them up with the place they needed. So, and that's what she did. And she went down there, and she worked for that entire month of December. She wanted to make sure that there was a gift or two under the tree, and she wanted to make sure there was a good feast on the table at Christmas. She did it more than once. She's that way. And I want you to know it would be a lot different and be more of a dog-eat-dog world out there if it wasn't for the women and the mothers who were involved in it. There's another verse in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, it just makes this simple statement. It has to do with the time that the angel had made the announcement to Mary, Mary, you are going to bring the Christ child into the world. What's born of you is going to come because of the overpowering and the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. I know you are a virgin, but you're still going to have a child, and that child is coming. And so she was listening to all of this, and so finally the event happened. The angels sang at Jesus' birth, and the shepherds came running to the place where she was in the area where there was a manger, and the baby was with her, and Joseph was with her, and the animals were in attendance. And then here come these shepherds running, and the star was marking the spot. And the shepherds came, and they praised, and they sang, and it was just they bowed down. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing that it was. And so the announcement of the angels and all those things, the scripture says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She didn't just hear, but she thought. And she meditated, and she categorized, and she put away in her heart everything that had been told her. Your son is going to be a virgin-born son. Your son is going to be the Messiah. Your son is going to bring joy to Israel. Your son is going to be celebrated by the heavenly host. And your son is going to die an untimely death. And a sword is going to pierce your heart. She was listening to all of these things. She took them all, categorized them, put them in her heart. And she pondered these things. Boy, I get information sometimes. Somebody will tell me something that's going on, and it's in this ear. It might flip over twice in between this ear, and then it's out, and I can't remember what somebody has said, but not my wife. Pondering, thinking about what information that they receive. Mary had this characteristic quality of women in general and mothers in particular. She just didn't hear an announcement. She internalized, she analyzed, she meditated on what the angel had said. It says, you're going to have a virgin-born son, and he's going to save the world from their sin, and a sword's going to pierce your heart, and it's going to be so sorrowful for you. She thought about all these things. I want to thank the women, the ladies, the mothers, for being spiritual enough to think on things and to meditate on them. Next year, I will complete 40 years in the ministry. And I want you to know something. By far, no comparison, the ones that are the most eager to receive the good news of the gospel and the fastest to grow once they receive it and are ready to be instructed and learned and will enter into discipleship relationships, the ones that will do that first and longer are women. I admire that character trait. I make no apology in saying women in general believe more readily and they grow more quickly in the faith. That's Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, I want to talk about Mary, the sister of Martha and of Lazarus. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. The reference is up on the screen. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. If we were to go back and read chapter 11, we would have that amazing story and this very amazing death of Lazarus, who Jesus identified as his friend. Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus were friends of Jesus, personal friends. I don't mean in the spiritual sense of we are all friends of Christ if we believe in him, but I mean they had him at their home. Here's another example. He would stop coming from east to west when he wanted to go into Jerusalem. He would stop there at Bethphage and Bethany where their house was, and they would show him hospitality. And in chapter 11, the one whom Jesus loved had become sick, and they sent word to Jesus, "He whom you love is sick. Please come and heal him." And so he told his disciples that were with him, "This sickness is not unto death, but is to the glory of God." And they said, "What are we going to do?" And so Jesus waited still several more days, and then he went to see Lazarus. But in the meantime, Lazarus had died, and Jesus told his disciples, "We're going to go and wake Lazarus up from sleep." They thought that he had been ill and he was sleeping. He was going to sleep off and get better, whatever illness that he had. But Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. Let's go and let's wake him up." Boy, what an occasion it was. He showed up and the people were weeping. This same Mary that's now pouring out this expensive perfume on his feet, this same Mary said, "Oh, if you'd just been here a little earlier, if you'd have just come on time, you could have done something. My brother need not die had you showed up in time." Well, God was going to do more than heal him. God was going to show him something else. He was going to show them all, and be a witness that he had power not only over blindness and deafness and lameness and sickness, but he had power over death itself. So he stepped out to the tomb with tears in his eyes. The Bible says he wept. And then Jesus said to Lazarus, and he called him by name, just like we sang a few minutes ago. He called him by name. And he says, "Lazarus, come forth." You know, if he hadn't said, "Lazarus, come forth," I think everybody would have resurrected at the same time. But he singled him out. "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth bouncing out of the graves, wrapped up. He had to hop out because he was wrapped up in grave clothes. And, of course, they let him go. Well, a period of time has gone by now, and these three are in the house. And once again, they're throwing a dinner in Jesus' honor. This time it wasn't just he was coming by just to have a place to stay. No, this time it has to do with showing him great honor, and everybody was invited. And in the midst of it, this Mary, who was so sad a chapter before, is overjoyed, full of gratitude, full of expression, full of emotion, full of heartfelt love for Jesus, that she took what was the equal to a year's wages, all wrapped up in a thick syrup in a bottle coming from India, and she poured it on his feet. Where he'd been walking and they were dirty, and she wanted to clean his feet, and so it was not too extravagant to take a year's wages in a thick syrup of a perfume and pour them on his feet, wipe his feet with her hair. She laid her glory down. She, you know, the Bible says that the glory of a woman is her hair, is a covering and covering. And so she laid her glory down. My glory let loose a long time ago. Amen, Jerry. She laid her glory down, and with the hairs of her head as a towel, she wiped his feet. Moms, I want to say something to you. Ladies, thank you for being expressive. Mary was acting toward Jesus with tremendous love and devotion. You see, those earlier doubts that she had concerning the death of her brother, those are all gone. Whether Jesus should have come earlier, she's not remembering that anymore. Mary is saying thank you to Jesus, and she's doing it in a very, very expressive way. Thank you, ladies, for being expressive. Thank you for being emotional. Boy, what a boring world it would be if I'm the only guy around telling a story sometime. Tell you what, I mean, it's just the facts, the details. This is where we went. This is what we did. This is what happened. It was a good time. See you later. I mean, we kid each other about how men and women are different and how they get ready for, oh, by the way, did you see the sign when you were coming in this morning out there, identity crisis? How many of you are just so oblivious you did not see the sign that says oblivious, because it says identity crisis? You didn't see it. You're not going to answer, are you? Got your hand up because I said you're oblivious. There's a sign out there that says identity crisis. This summer we're going to have a blast. We're going to be talking about current issues that are so very, very important in our world, because you know the world has pretty much forgotten what is a man supposed to be and what is a woman supposed to be. And it's Wednesday night because Awanas is out and the choir is out and nobody is being taken away to other things. We're coming together for that. More information on that in the future. But we often kid each other about how men and women get ready for events. Like, take example, men getting ready for mugs. Even if it's a big day, even if we're just inviting people from everywhere. You know, we're going to invite them, and it's mugs, and the men put up tables. They use no tablecloths. We use plastic utensils. We go to no trouble to decorate whatsoever, and we're all thrilled with a pile of greasy sausage and gravy over hot biscuits. And then some guy will get up and thrash us for a few minutes and just slam us, you know, over something for a few minutes, and we'll all clap each other on the back, tell them how good it was, and see them next time. I mean, that's it for mugs. Men, that's the way we are. Now, the ladies, that's a different story. They're going to have a special event, and it takes 2 or 3 days to get ready for anything. There has to be color coordination, centerpieces. There has to be a theme for that particular meeting, and it takes, you know, a dozen opinions mixed all together to figure out just which slice of cheesecake and fruit punch you're going to have. And, I mean, it's just the way it is. And then they all come together and they have their slice of cheesecake and fruit punch. They tell a tearful story. They tell about the most delightful experience they've ever had, the experience of a decade. Hearts are warm. Tears are shed. Friendships are deepened. Needs are met. And they can't wait till the next one. And then they all pitch in to take care of things as it's time to go. What a difference in men. Boy, you got a guy grab men, twist their arm behind their back to get them to put a chair away. I mean, it's just the way it is. Guys, you got to admit that the expression of grace and love is the reason we don't sit in houses with white walls, no artwork, concrete floors, tablecloths thrown over concrete blocks for end tables. We probably wouldn't even have houses. If it wasn't for the women, we'd be in caves. I'll tell you what, our language arts are greatly enhanced because of the women. They just, you know, grunting is not enough. They've got to have words, and so... Well, I will add that the women have asked me to tell you to stop acting like you're living in a cave. Just kidding. I want to say, moms as well, thank you for being so sacrificial. So sacrificial. Who is it that suddenly loses their appetite when there's just one piece of pie left? Who is it that's the last to sit down at the meal, and after a meal, the last to hit the couch for rest? Who is it that's the first to get up, start getting the kids ready for bed or to take a bath, or when there's a whimper in the middle of the night, who hears it first? And I've seen a very sad thing happening to some of these precious women. Some of them are sacrificing, working outside of their homes as well as doing their homework to see that their husband gets an education or he finishes an education. They work and work and work and work at home only to have the man fall for another woman while she's sacrificing for him. You say it's far-fetched. I can give you names. I have seen mothers work at home and work and work and work to sacrifice to make a truck payment or a bass boat payment just because it seems so important to the husband. And I've seen a mom work at home and work and work and work to help a child get a good college education, to save and scrimp, and to see that son or daughter go to school and live it up and ruin their family's reputation. Let me just pull over and say, for those of you that are graduated, that get ready to go off to school, you're going off to school for a purpose, and it's not just party time. I don't care. It's amazing to me the culture that we live in. Schools are ranked now on the basis of their party time. I mean, what school is the greatest party school? Kids go to school, spend thousands, come out of school with enormous debt, and didn't even think about study until the third year. Young people, this is not part of the message, but I just want to tell you something. It's wrong. And it's totally disrespectful to the sacrifice that moms and dads make. Women are sacrificial. It was the women who followed Jesus and his disciples around, made sure they were fed. They supported them with their own money. It was this woman, Mary, that gave the equivalent of 1 year's wage to anoint Jesus' feet with this precious imported oil of the root of the spikenard plant coming all the way from India. It was the women who followed Jesus around and supported his ministry as well as those 12 men. The women were great givers. Moms and ladies, I want to thank you for something else under Mary. That is that thank you for always remembering. There's something else here, you see. Mary remembered what Jesus had done for her. She was expressive in saying thanks. She was sacrificial in saying thanks. But most of all, she just remembered to say thanks. Women are good about that. If there's anything we need to be taught, my mother was really good about teaching me things like don't pick your nose. You know, that was a big one. Stand up straight, son. She said, if you don't stand up straight, I'm going to tie a 1x12, 4 feet long on your back, strap you to it. Stand up straight. Well, she was something. She had a lot of good things to say. If you don't like your supper, what's on that table, it's going to meet you in the morning. That'll be breakfast. Sit down at the table and she'd have a big old pork chop on that plate or something. Listen to this, man. I'm telling you, big old thick pork chop laid out there. Then she'd have two or three vegetables and homemade bread or something over there, and we'd look at that and turn our little noses up at it like that. She said, what do you think this is, the Waldorf Astoria? If you think I'm going to cook for you individually, you got another thing coming. Eat those vegetables. Man, I love vegetables even till today. You people don't like vegetables. Something wrong with you. Too bad you didn't have my mother. I mean, you'd have had it for breakfast, lunch, supper, breakfast, lunch, supper. I tell you, you just loved them. Put the vegetables on your plate, you'd eat them first just so you didn't have to see them for breakfast. My mother always had something good to say. Always, you know, she says, now, there's two things that'll get you in trouble in our house. Laziness. She says, if you're lazy, I will kill you. Not really, but I mean, you thought she was going to kill you. Laziness, no room for laziness. And another L word, lying. Laziness and lying, those were the big two. You lie to her, you lie to anybody, she finds out about it. I tell you what, I have tasted soap more than once in my life. How many of you had the soap treatment? Did it hurt you? No. Did you remember it? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Amazing. They remember. She was expressive in saying thanks, and that she was sacrificial in saying thanks. Most of all, she just remembered to say it, and she would drill us, my mother. You know, when somebody does something for you, say thank you. And when somebody says thank you, you tell them you're welcome. You show some common courtesy. We're not animals. We live above the animals. She'd say that over and over. Be nice. She'd go over and over it and over it. Thank God for your food, and thank God for each other, and thank God for deeds of kindness, and thank the people who do the deeds of kindness, and say thank you, and say a kind word to anyone for every action. And you know, it's the women that remember the goodness of a wayward child. It's the mother that can always remember some good in every situation. They remember birthdays, anniversaries, special occasions, and blessings. Thank God for Mary. Thank God for Mary, the mother of Jesus. Thank God for this Mary of Bethany. And now here's another Mary. Mary Magdalene, one of whom great sins were forgiven. She's the forgiven one. Let me read a little bit about her. John 20 and verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She wept. She bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. She went to the disciples with the news. "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Moms and ladies, I just want to thank you for being so faithful. Faithfulness is the character trait of most women that I know. Here we are. It's crucifixion time. They've put him in the tomb. And I want to know, where are the men? Where is proud Peter? Where is boisterous James and John, the sons of thunder? They're not there. They're all in hiding. They're trying to figure out what to do next. But not this Mary, this lady of whom so much was forgiven. No, she's faithful. She followed him after the garden. She followed him to the mock trial. She followed him to the place of pain at the cross. She followed him to the garden tomb. And when almost all lost faith, the women didn't lose faith, and Mary didn't lose faith. And ladies, you're faithful to keep believing that the marriage can work. And you're faithful to keep believing that the rebel can be reclaimed. You are faithful at being moms and women that care, and you grace our homes with sweetness because of your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Moms and ladies, thank you for never giving up. Moms never give up. They know that there are no throwaway children in the world. And aren't you glad that's true? Aren't you glad they didn't just give up on us when we were wayward, when we weren't behaving, when we weren't doing right? They know there's always hope for the young adult that's making the wrong choices right now. The endurance and perseverance of women is the reason many men are able to keep going in the first place. If you have a godly wife who is a mother and she loves you and loves your children, you have a treasure. Men, do not sin against God in mistreating your wife. Do not sin against your children in mistreating your wife. If you want to make enemies of your children, mistreat their mother. Moms, number four, ladies, we will always thank you for these things. Thank you for giving us life itself. You gave us life. Kids, teens, husbands, don't give them grief in return. Give them thanks. Thank you for something else. Thank you not just for giving us life, but for giving us yourself. We will forever be thankful. Not that you made a name in the office or the workplace, which you may do at some point, but that you gave your best to your home, to your husband, to your children, and to the Lord. And then, let's don't miss this one. And we can look back at verse number 18, and verse number 18 was interesting. "I have seen the Lord." And then she went and told them the things that the Lord said to her. Thank you, moms. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for guiding us to Jesus. I told you it's my first Mother's Day without Mom. Can't call her today. I remember my mother very clearly leading me toward Jesus. I have certain snapshots in my memory of things my mom did. Standing at the stove, cooking whatever meal that she was cooking. She couldn't sing. My mother had no singer's voice, but it's the sweetest voice in the world to me. She was as southern could possibly be. Everybody keeps laughing at my accents. You think I have accents? You should have heard my mother. "This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior." And she'd stand there and it was grits and ham and it was bacon and it was, and she'd stand there serving the family, singing about Jesus. I remember, it's a snapshot in time I will never forget. And I remember her tears as she'd give me a spanking. Cry while she was doing it. "I just don't want you to grow up and be a bad boy. I want you to grow up and love Jesus." She'd hug me, sit me on the, I hated it. She'd sit me on the bed beside her. And she says, "Now, do you understand why I gave you a spanking?" The bad thing was, is if Mama had to give me a spanking, I knew Daddy was giving me the second one when he came home. They were in collusion, I'm telling you.
Not only that, but they were in cahoots with the school too. Any one of them have a problem, and buddy, it was Katie bar the door. She'd sit right there beside me. She'd hug me like that and blistered my bottom. She'd hug me and she'd say, "Give you that spanking because I want you to do right and act right. And I've got to make sure you understand when something's wrong." She'd hug me and she'd kiss me on the forehead. She'd say, "Now go play and forget about it." She didn't want me to think that that's the only thing she wanted to remember about me, was that I was misbehaving. I never got grounded in my life. I know a lot of you folks think that's the greatest thing on earth, ground your kids. Well, they just get mad, go to the room, throw things around, kick holes in the wall, knock their computer off, throw their cell phones down or whatever. You just ground them. My dad and my mother hated the thought of not being able to have good fellowship and relationship with us. And so my dad says, "Nope, no groundings. I'm going to whoop his hiney. Then I'm going to hug his neck, and then we're going to go to the ball game." Because he could not stand the thought of a relationship, fellowship being broken with his kids. Oh, there's a lesson there. You know, God would rather you just get right instead of have to put you under his continual conditioning, correction. I remember my mother leading me toward Jesus. She was busy. She had 3 kids. She had a garden, big garden. I guess that's where I get it from. What I did all day yesterday. Dig. And she was busy taking care of us. She wasn't so busy that she didn't sit down with me. I can't tell you how many times. "Now, Philip," this is when I was little. "Now, Philip, let's sing this song. Be careful, little hands, what you do." Marty, you remember. "Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do." Then we go to the feet. "Be careful, little feet, what? Where you go. Be careful, come on, little feet, where you go. 'Cause the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go." Then she'd say, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes." And then it'd be, "Careful, little ears, what you hear." And I mean, she'd say, you know what? She'd tell me, she says, "Now, Philip, I was getting ready to go to school and be in junior high," and she'd make me sing that silly little song. She says, "I know you're too big to sing this song, but your eyes are just now getting big enough to see what they shouldn't see." She said, "Just remember, God's watching every step of your life." I'm talking about mothers who make a difference. I'm talking about real motherhood, not who looks good on the cover of a magazine. Some of you moms are more worried about your daughters and if they're popular than whether they're holy. Some of you moms want to live out your life that you didn't get to do when you were a teenager. You're wanting to live it out through your daughters, and you're dressing them up wrong, ladies, and you're sending them out poorly dressed. I know you all want to be good moms. Some of us, if your kids were honest, they would say she was attentive to, we have to decide whether she was attentive to us or attentive to herself. She was sacrificial and self-sacrificial, or was she self-centered? She was faithful to God and our family, or was she faithful to her own aspirations? She led me to Jesus as a priority, or she made sure that I was popular and tried to relive her life out through me. I want to just tell you today, moms, most of your desires to lead your family, lead your children to Jesus. Which leads me to this point right here, and that is, many of you have been invited today because you said, "Mom, what do you want for Mother's Day?" And she said something real simple: "I just want us all to go to church together today." Now, if it's Father's Day, let's all go down to the lake. Well, let's go play golf. Or just leave me alone. It's for you. It wants to be a good day for me. Just leave me alone. Let me do what I want to do. Not mom. No, mom, she's different. You said, mom, what do you want for Mother's Day? Well, I just want the whole family to come go to church with me, and then we'll get together and we'll eat somewhere. Why is that? Well, it's not so she can just be a morning glory and say, look at all my children. No. She's doing her best to tell you that this thing about Jesus and knowing him and loving him is really, really important to her, and it's important to God, and it's either going to take you to heaven or hell when you die. Do you know Jesus? You want to be a good mom? Make sure you're leading your children, little, young, older, and oldest. Just you're leading them to Jesus by your prayer and by your example and by the things that you ask them to do. And if you want to make your mom really, really thankful for this Mother's Day, let this be the Mother's Day that you quit fighting God and you say yes to Jesus as your personal Savior. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Dear Father, thank you for our moms. Thank you for the blessing, the sacrifice, the hard work, the faithfulness. Thank you that they remain an enduring influence in our life far longer than anyone else. Lord, I pray today that you would save that one that doesn't know you. Maybe, Lord, there's a mom here that can't be the mom she really wants to be because she doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. I pray that they come to know you today. Maybe there's a young man or young woman or maybe an older young man or woman that's here to honor mom, but they hear the news that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and mom is just dying to make sure that they know you, Jesus. And I pray that today would be the day that called on you. If you're here today and you say, boy, that's me. I need Jesus to save me from my sin. And I know mom's been praying for this forever. You're here and you're like that. Why don't you pray a prayer like this right where you sit? God, I know you're real, and I know mom's been praying for me, and I know I'm a sinner, and I know, Jesus, you died for my sin. I confess, I don't brag about what I've done and who I am. I confess my sinful condition, and I pray for you to save me. Forgive me, save me. I believe you died for me and you rose again and that you're sitting in heaven waiting for me to call on you. Well, today I do it. Jesus, save me from my sin, please. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. If you did that, if you called on Jesus, tell him thank you. If you did that, then on your care card, check the box, I receive Jesus as my Savior today. Make sure we have your name so we can pray for you. God bless all of you for being here. Father, I pray that you would add your blessing to everything we've said. Help us as we finish the time together right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Phil.